Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. It is March 23rd, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast in Eugene, Oregon. And I have on the line with me a dear friend that I've had on before. And I think I've told you, I've been excited for him to come on. He's been booked a little while. He and I talk about politics and alternative facts and how that phrase came up. And we were talking about our president, and he and I kind of stumbled on the same thoughts. It was hilarious. So let me introduce Ed Oz. Ed, thank you for joining me. Ed has a Facebook page, Ed Oz, and you can, Ed, is your page public?
Yes, it is. You can find my page at facebook.com/EdOz, E-D-O-Z. So thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And if folks are interested in what I have to say, the Facebook page is probably the best touch point. It's always a pleasure being on your show. And I think we have something very relevant to talk about today. Especially
yes, we do. But let me
giant
add,
media service. Go ahead.
I know. Ed, let me just jump in, or I want to give you a really good plug, because you can find Ed's book called Unstoppable Joy on Amazon, I'm pretty sure. Can't you, Ed?
Yes, you can.
And so it's a great book. This is how I met Ed. And so I can't, because I'm kind of a self-help guru, as you guys may have surmised. I read poetry and self-help books pretty much. Anyways, Ed, let's get to what we wanted about our president, who is now on the path of destroying people's belief that we get any truth or any facts or anything from the government, from the media, and how we've seen this one trick pony before, and it's all been funded by the same people who funded World War II. So
you got it. And here's what I want your audience to do, because I know a lot of your audience are very, very don't accept the facts that the media puts out regarding nuclear and its radiation and how it's causing all of these problems in the world and killing us off. So you have an audience that's pretty much aware of keeping a tongue in cheek or, being skeptical when they listen to the media. So what I want you to do to begin with is kind of forget everything you know about Donald Trump. In other words, just like all of this stuff you've heard over the years, The Apprentice and everything else, kind of like wash it out of your mind for a minute, because what Lonnie and I are going to discuss may change your viewpoint quite a bit about who.
Well, hey, I watched
The
Apprentice.
Yes, I did. I saw it a little bit. I mean, but what I'm saying is, in our minds, we see a Trump who was a real estate investor, a media mogul, made all of these wonderful investing decisions, became this powerful businessman through the use of finesse in his mind and the art of the deal. And it's a great image. I mean, it really is. It's a wonderful image, although people are a little shaken with where it's gone. So what we
his
need to do...
His supporters love him, Ed. His supporters love
him.
I know.
They, and the reason his supporters love him is part of the crux of this. His supporters love him because they think he is outside of the system. He is an outlier is a word I hear a lot. And that is why he can't be corrupted, because he does not have all of the same connections that all of these corrupt politicians have. Now, actually, this radio show started about 8 months ago with a conversation Lonnie and I had about, you know, let's go find out how he got started. Let's go back into history and see, yeah, because we
Who
really don't get that.
Guy? Well, because I remembered him being a batterer. I stopped watching him. I mean, I used to listen to the Howard Stern show, and I stopped listening to him when I heard him on the Howard Stern show say some very lewd and sexist remarks about teenage girls. It was disgusting.
Well, he even said something
and
about
he
his
had
daughter,
a teenage daughter at the time. And he said lewd remarks about her, too. I mean, honestly, So I stopped.
It's kind of interesting because what you're talking about is really much the kind of the opposite of what we know as presidential behavior, what we accept as presidential behavior from people. And that's really a big thing that's going on here with Trump. So first I'm going to get to the meat of this thing and we'll go from there. As many of you know, Trump, if you read his book, The Art of the Deal, Trump will tell you that the beginning of his success came in the late 70s, or no, in 87, as a matter of fact, when he bought a nondescript company called Resorts International that very few people know anything about. And that actually was his first big deal, and he even admits that in his book. So we look into Resorts International, and we find out some very interesting things. Resorts International was actually founded in the 50s by the head of the CIA. It had a different name then. As a matter of fact, it had the name of a paint company of all things. But what it was it was a method for the CIA to use to launder money. They started laundering money through a paint company, like a lot of businesses do. You know, any money that deals in cash, you can launder money, but that wasn't nearly big enough. So they had to stretch themselves into gambling. And they started getting into gambling because gambling is the holy grail of money laundering. A casino can launder any amount of money, basically because someone can come in and lose it. And it's perfectly legitimate to lose money. So we get back to Resorts International. It grows over the years as a CIA front. It gets involved in the casino business enough to launder a lot of money in Las Vegas.
Pardon me, Ed. How did you know that it was a? How did you know it was a CIA front? How did you find that out?
I knew it was a CIA front because actually it's referred to in CIA documents, a couple of which just disappeared here. Wait a minute. Let me see if I got one here. No, Resorts International is actually referred to, and its previous name, which disappeared when my computer crashed, the paint company, is referred to in loads of CIA documents. Okay?
Okay.
Now, here's why we...
Which are public... Are they public documents? Are these documents we
yes,
can
they
find
are. I was just looking at a few half an hour ago before my computer... I actually had them up and saved that I was going to refer to before the computer crashed. Just to tell you why, I mean, I don't know Resorts International was used for money laundering because I wasn't there. I can only assume. Let's go into who owned Resorts International at the time that it was transferred to Donald Trump. And I'm just going to quote out of this. In 1987, Donald Trump purchased his first casino interest when he acquired 93% of the shares in Resorts International. Now, let's rephrase that sentence. Donald Trump acquired 93% of a CIA money laundering operation. Resorts International has a sordid history which began in the early 50s when it evolved from a CIA front company, which had been established for the purpose of money laundering profits from the drug trade and other illegal activities. On October 30th, 1978, the Spotlight newspaper in Florida reported that the principal investors of Resorts International were Meyer Lansky, Tibor Rosenbaum, William Mellon Hitchcock, David Rockefeller, and one Baron Edmund de Rothschild. In 1987, upon the death of longtime CIA frontman James Crosby, who was running and the head of Resorts International, up-and-coming young New York real estate tycoon Donald Trump stepped into the picture and bought all of his interest in the gambling empire. Trump soon became a household name and his colorful personality and insistence on naming everything after him served a purpose. While the name Trump appeared in the headlines and on all of the buildings, the names of the real movers behind Resorts International could remain in the shadows, Rockefeller and Rothschild. Now it becomes interesting. Why did they bring Trump in to Resorts International? Now, you're old enough to remember this, Lonnie. They brought him into Resorts International because the mafia was not really comfortable with the CIA laundering all this money in Las Vegas. They wanted a piece of the action all of the time, and the CIA did not like that, so they wanted new, fresh territory where they could control all of the casinos. Guess who opened up the casinos in Atlantic City? Resorts International.
Yeah, but weren't they a failure? Isn't that one of his embarrassments? Like, it didn't really do well?
Of course, because he ran them bankrupt laundering money. After quickly expanding the reach of Resorts International to Atlantic City in the final years of the 80s, Trump found himself in financial trouble as the New York real estate market himself. The three casinos in Atlantic City, like other Trump assets, were under threats from lenders. It was with the assistance and assurance of Wilbur L. Ross Jr., senior managing director of Rothschild Incorporated, that Trump was allowed to keep the casinos and rebuild his empire.
What's that man's name? Wilbur Ross.
Well, his name has come up again in the next sentence. Wilbur L. Ross, senior managing director of Rothschild Incorporated. The same Wilbur L. Ross, still employed by James Rothschild, came out in support of Trump's nomination in March 2016, reported by Bloomberg.
He's from the Bank of Ireland.
Right.
Wow.
So basically, the reason I'm going over this is because my theory about Donald Trump, which a lot of people think I'm entirely insane.
Oh, my God. You know, wait a minute. He is our current Secretary of Commerce. I thought that's who he was.
That's right. I knew that name.
He's this guy that's involved in the Russian money laundering scheme from the Bank of Commerce. From the Bank of Cyprus.
Amazing, isn't it?
He's part of what they're looking into in the FBI, the State Department. This is probably why that guy got fired. What's his name? The one with the weird name, that attorney general who just got fired.
The guy who forgot he was taking millions from Russia.
Yes, he was investigating that whole scenario about the Bank of Cyprus and the illegal Russian money and blah 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 blah. And because of this guy, wow, he's our current. Okay, say this again, Ed. I'm a little bit blown away.
Okay, let me tell you. Let me read this again because there's so much here to take in.
Wait a minute, excuse me, Ed. This is his son who is doing it. He's the investor. His son is the kid. That's what I thought when you said his name. It sounded
familiar. Yeah, he'd be too old. He'd be too old because William L. Ross was the senior managing director of Rothschild Incorporated back in the early 80s.
But he was from the Bank of Ireland. That's who his dad was with, the original. So this is all dirty money.
So let's just take this little thing and put it in a bubble for a second so I can talk about another very interesting subject, and that is our new White House at Mar-a-Lago. There's a very interesting story behind that building that the press hasn't seemed to cover. And that is Mar-a-Lago was built as the most absolutely ostentatious and luxurious residence possible by the post-serial icon, the woman who ended up inheriting all the money from the post-serial company.
Uh-huh.
So she built this huge, spectacular place in Florida. And then when she passed away, and I have not heard this really mentioned on the news once, when she passed away, she gave Mar-a-Lago to the U.S. government with the stipulation that it only be used as a winter White House. This happened a long time ago, 85, I believe it is. And the U.S. government owned it for about 2 years and then decided, oddly, that it cost too much money to take care of it. So they gave it back to the foundation that managed the post heiress's money. And lo and behold, almost instantly, Donald Trump ended up owning it.
Well, isn't that weird how we now call that the Winter White House? That's called the
Winter
White
House. And Donald, now I want to throw a little math out here, just for the amusement of the folks. Donald Trump's club at the Winter White House, or Mar-a-Lago, charges $200,000 per member per year, and that's 500 members. Donald Trump bought Mar-a-Lago for $5 million. I would say that's a great return on an investment. And it just seems so odd to me that originally it was specified to be a White House. So now let's go. So he ends up And the history of how Trump ends up owning the Mar-a-Lago, folks, go try and find it, because I have spent a lot of time. It's the weirdest thing. It's just like it happened. I mean, no negotiation, nothing. It's just like, poof, he owns this place. And that's 3 years after he bought the CIA money laundering office. So now let me go to factor three that I believe the CIA is heavily involved in, that I believe is the crux of why Donald Trump is our president today. And you, from people out there, you've probably seen the memes of like Donald Trump being shown as president 20 years ago on The Simpsons television show. Matter of fact, they had a whole episode about Donald Trump becoming president 20 years ago on The Simpsons show.
Did they really?
Yes. Yes, that's the one where all those memes come from, where posters of Donald Trump, you know, saying, America, you'll be my next ex-wife. So now, so we have that wow. And you know, we know Simpsons is owned by Fox News. But the bigger factor is, Donald Trump, and is even coming apparent today, is not really the most polished individual for public presentation. And the CIA had to deal with that. You see, what people don't understand about the CIA and people like Kissinger and people like Cheney is they don't think like you and I. They don't make plans that span years. They make plans that span decades. They make plans to go 50, 60, 100 years out. These guys even make plans for stuff to happen after they're dead. That's how far in advance they plan. Donald Trump was a little bit too rough around the edges for the job that they wanted him to do. So all of a sudden, what's the perfect way to turn a man into an authority figure recognized by an entire country? Well, why not make a television show where he gets to be the ultimate boss? Where everybody looks up and where he can put down people left and right, and everybody will think it's funny rather than he's an asshole. So we had how many years in The Apprentice? I don't even know. But we had many, many years of The Apprentice. And that created an image in our collective mind of who and what Donald Trump was. And that image did not include gambling magnates, interestingly enough, or CIA mogul. He was the deal maker. Now, Lonnie and I were discussing this the other day. Has Donald Trump made most of his money from real estate? No. He's made his money from media. The same media that got him elected. Now, a lot of you are probably saying, wait, he was against the media. It's fake news. The media attacks Trump all the time. They wanted Hillary to be president. Baloney. I come from Hollywood. My, you know, whole family was actors and actresses, as Bonnie knows, and very much in the entertainment business. And there's a incredible expression in the entertainment business that applied 100% to the news coverage regarding Donald Trump all of last year. And that famous humorous expression in the movie business is, there is no such thing as bad publicity. There is only publicity. Repeat that to yourself, and you will understand how the media got Donald Trump elected.
Well, you want to know what, Ed? This is bizarre. You want to know how dubious this his dad is, Wilbur Sr., Ross Sr.?
Okay.
Judge. Ooh. He's a judge. Wikipedia says he later became a judge. So I've been looking while you're talking for Will. You cannot find him on the internet. I cannot find him easily. His name does not pop up. He's 100% suppressed.
Let's remind the audience what you and I were discussing before we went on the air. And that is, over the months, I've been sending Lonnie lots of information I have found on his connections with the CIA, the origination of Resorts International, going back to 54, the people involved with it, et cetera, et cetera. So before I do an interview, I always go out and look up my web pages and pull them up again, so I got them handy and can do lots of citations, because that's kind of the way I am. But Lonnie and I have both noticed something very interesting. All of this information is disappearing. Right in front of our eyes, day by day. As a matter of fact, if you go to Wikipedia today and look up Resorts International, you will find nothing about the history of Resorts International starting from 1954. It will just have magically appeared in around 1978. A month ago, 2 months ago, well, actually before the election, I went to Wikipedia, sent Lonnie the page. Wikipedia had all of the details of the CIA front company that turned into Resorts International. Those details are no longer there this morning.
Well, so this is what, this is really a discussion about how we really need to make sure we use our print screen or we make a PDF of everything that we think is valuable, because honestly, they are whitewashing it. And this is one of the things that's the most dangerous. I wanted to have you on, not about how he started in his corruption, because it's obvious to see it's a coup. They're attempting an internal coup. But the issue is what they are doing systematically. Every day he tweets about the corrupt media. Anytime a story breaks, it's the corrupt media this, the corrupt liars this, the fake news that. And I go on to Twitter, I go on to Instagram, I listen to his, thank you, Mr. President, I'm sick of NBC, I'm sick of NBC, fake news, liars, Podesta is a child molester. I mean, like, it's like Pavlov's dog, you know, Obama did this. Well, we're not talking
about Hillary. Don't forget about Hillary.
Look, it's obvious the guy has, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, I'm not denying that Hillary is not as corrupt as Trump, but the deal is... And that he's just in as much as dirty money. The difference is we can't find his information as easily because they're not as sloppy. I mean, this connection with this guy, this commerce secretary.
All of this Russian stuff. But Trump goes down, it is part of a CIA plan.
Ding, bingo.
This is what we have to remember.
That's right.
okay? All of this is part of a plan. Lonnie and I have discussed several times that really we kind of think that Trump is kind of clueless at this point about what's happening.
Yeah, he's
being manipulated. He's part of the plan. Now, why would the CIA want to do this? You know, as you know, I've been racking my mind on this for 2 months, trying to make sense of what this is all about, and I finally believe it came to me last night, Lonnie. Have you ever heard of the expression, the uncanny valley?
The uncanny
valley. Because we are living in the uncanny valley now. Let me tell you what the uncanny valley is. It's a very interesting subject. I really encourage any of you to go out, type it into a search engine and learn about it. The uncanny valley is a psychological effect that was discovered when they first started trying to use robots to interact with people. And a scientist actually coined the phrase the uncanny valley. What the uncanny valley is it's why we don't have robots for bank tellers. Because when you sit in front of a robot, even if it looks 100% real and can do every micro movement that a human being can do, there is this giant gap called the uncanny valley because you know something is wrong. You know something is reality. That something is presenting itself as reality that is not reality. The uncanny valley can actually make people ill, physically ill. It confuses people. They don't really know what's going on. It doesn't only happen with robots today. It happens in anything that tries to simulate being a human being. It can also happen with, when they take and create a digital character, and you're watching that digital character in the movie and something seems wrong, that's the uncanny valley. And when you can put people into the uncanny valley, you can keep them completely confused. Not only confused, but upset.
Maybe that's
now,
why they...
Let me tie this to Trump. Everything he does is not like a president. Every word that comes out of his mouth is not what we expect as presidential behavior. It throws us into the uncanny valley.
That's true. We're like, what the fuck?
What the
Did he really say that? Yeah.
Did you hear his son put down the London mayor last night after they lost all those lives?
No, what did he say?
Oh my God, you talk about a shitstorm. His son tweeted last night that the mayor of London says that people should just accept this. This is part of living in the city, terrorism.
His son
said the mayor
that?
Of London did not say. His son tweeted it. Donald Duke Trump Jr. has just caused a major international incident.
And thank God they didn't give him security clearance. You know they're going to give his daughter security clearance. That is hilarious.
But here's the thing. You look at that and you go, that doesn't make sense. But when you look at it through the lens of trying to create an uncanny valley, it makes total sense.
Well, can you imagine if Hillary Clinton had said, guess what? I really need to have Chelsea next to me all the time. I'm going to give her a special title in the White House, and she can sit on any high priority meetings we need because I like her there. I like her input. Imagine what people would have said. Putting Chelsea Clinton sitting next to Angela Merkel.
Any of this that happened, if Hillary's fucking, people have been fucking colluding with Russia.
Imagine Nixon putting his kids next to the chancellors.
I want to tell you how long it takes for truth to come out. There's a great article by Christoph that everybody should read today, where he says the forbidden word. It's the main opinion article in the New York Times. The name of the article is The Smell of Treason is in the Air. And he's the first major press person to use the T word, treason.
It is treason.
But basically, the interesting part about this article is he compares everything that's going on to if any of these, even the minorest thing, had happened when the Republicans were in charge and Obama was trying to appoint somebody or do something like this, nothing ever would have gone anywhere. And that we, at this point, we have to get to the bottom of the treason, because everything is starting to look like treason now. It's really starting to look like the guy who they're distancing himself from. What's his name? We were talking about
Manafort.
Him earlier.
Manafort.
Manafort. It's come out now that Manafort was taking millions from Russia.
Yeah.
Every year.
It's 2006.
And his job was to
manipulate
media.
Well, this is an interesting thing. Manafort was his security advisor, right? And he got in there and just filled his ear. He worked over Trump pretty hard for that entire period of time. I mean, think about it. I mean, I would love to see Trump's tax returns. I guarantee he owes them money. He owes the Russians big money.
I think that's
something.
Why it's been hidden. I think that's why this is such a big issue to him for that stuff not to come out.
Well, is why I think the idea that he's a CIA plant, a long-term plan coming to fruition, is exactly right. Because even Pence, to be honest, my experience with Pence let me know that he couldn't give a crap about our government, our people.
We got a few minutes here. Could you tell the audience about your experience with Pence?
Oh, I have a couple times.
Okay, I want to make sure they're aware of that.
Just in case you haven't, I called Mike Pence's office. I won't go into the details, but Mike,
the short version.
I called Mike Pence and Boehner's office when they stood in front of a microphone and said they were proud of not giving the unemployed people an extended 2 weeks or 3 weeks of a month and a half, I guess it was, of unemployment. And
right.
I called him up. I said, look, I'd rather pay taxes. Thank you, but no. Like, I hope you change your vote because some people might starve. Mike Pence's office called the Capitol Police and said I threatened to murder his staff. And after the Eugene Police Department investigated
me. Local police came out, didn't they? Or talked
the
to
detective,
you?
A detective from Eugene the Police Department investigated me for almost a week before he called me up and said, I can't find any. What is this claim about? And I was livid and gave him a piece of my ear, wrote a letter to my elected officials, and not one little peep, pipe, thank you, sorry you had to go through that, nothing from not a single person. Nor the police department. And this is Mike Pence, folks. And he does believe in the things he actually did attempt to put through legislation in Indiana that would put a woman in jail who's had an abortion in the past. Go through people's medical records. If you had an abortion, you spend 6 months in jail per abortion, period.
Right.
It's not that much penance to pay for killing a life. That's his attitude. I mean, this guy is a complete murderous lunatic. The things he did to Indiana, he broke their state. He actually is instrumental in helping keep open two leaking nuclear power plants. So, and I know he's this. To me, he's a picture of
those. I wanted to mention that I found one of these documents. CIA. I want to read a few lines here.
What's the title and where's it from? And when was it written?
Well, actually, this is from Global Research, but it's a slice out of a document. I'm trying to find the exact... Okay.
Oh, well, it'll probably tell us if you're going to read an article. Okay. What day was it?
Well, let me just read this because it goes back to this Wallace Gross guy.
When was it written? Okay. How old is it?
Right. Okay. One former federal official who helped scrutinize Castle was one of CIA's financial... channel for operation against Cuba. As for ex-convict Wallace Grove's connection to the CIA, a number of CIA documents have been released to confirm this relationship. According to one of them, quote, the Wallace Grove's mentioned in the attachment as being connected with Meyer Lansky and the Mary Carter Paint Company / Resorts International. That's the name, Mary Carter Paint Company.
Okay, so go back and say that again because I didn't really understand it.
Groves, remember the guy you were looking up? Okay, this
Wilbur
is just
Ross.
A cut out of a document, so we don't know what document they're referring to. This is
I looked up Wilbur Ross, Ed.
Okay, well, here's the paint company I was telling you about.
Right.
Let me just read this again. The Wallace Groves mentioned in the attachment as being connected with Meyer Lansky. You know who Meyer Lansky is.
Uh-huh.
And the Mary Carter Paint Company / Resorts International. So this is the part they're hiding. They're hiding the Mary Carter Paint Company. That's what they took out of Wikipedia. That was the original name of Resorts International, and that was the company founded by the CIA.
Listen to the first sentence about Wallace Groves on Wikipedia. Was a prominent financier who, after his release from federal prison in 1944, moved to the Bahamas.
Now listen to this. Okay, so they say the Wallace Groves mentioned in the attachments is identical to the Wallace Groves who is subject of OS file number 473865. This file reflects that from April 66 to April 72, Groves was of interest to the CIA's Office of General Counsel for the utilization of Groves as an advisor or possible officer of the project deleted entity. Additional information on this file would suggest that Groves was directly connected to Meyer Lansky. I suspect that these projects deleted, you know, it's blacked out, entities involved the use of off-the-books funds not included in the authorized CIA budget. Boom.
You want to hear what? You want to know what this guy Groves did? Exactly what Trump is doing. In 1931, Groves began to assemble a collection of investment trusts and other companies through complex transactions following a certain pattern. He was then reported as to having a net assets of $19 million. In 1931, Groves obtained control of Chain and General Equities by underwriting and offering to the stockholders of additional stock, and then caused the election of the officers of choice of his choice to the board of directors, according to the SEC. Groves then sold to the company 642,517 shares of common stock of Interstate Equities Corp. for approximately $1,325,000 with a gross profit of $369. The stock had little or no asset value. That's why he went to jail. This is what they did. In December, two other companies, Interstate Equities of New York and Yosemite Holding of Detroit, also came under the control of Groves Equity Corporation by December 32, netting Groves the market value of these companies by the expenditure of a very small amount of money. They filed suit against Groves and his associates, and Groves sold his control of Equity Corp. Wow, and it goes on. The list, the litigation against him is well known, and he went to jail for all of some of this. Wow.
Well, and he came out like, but he came out smelling like a rose. That, I mean,
because
you know,
he had billions of dollars stashed away offshore.
He came out there to be a major CIA player. He's also involved here, I'm reading down lower in this, of the Bank of the Bahamas. This is very,
yes,
very...
he did go to the Bahamas.
Okay, yeah.
Allegations of underworld association. So this is the thing. This is all dirty money. People need to understand that they're being manipulated to not trust any news, any reporting, any facts. The CIA, the FBI, people's long-term year credibilities are being really undermined, much in like they did in 2000 when Bush attacked, when 9/11 happened, when Cheney and Bush attacked the World Trade Center. I mean, when that
I agree with you. The thing is, they've got everybody so confused that no one anywhere is talking about the possibility of Trump being a CIA plant, which is exactly what he is. I mean, I want to ask your audience. You've seen some of the stupid things that Trump has done in the past 100 days. I mean, incredibly stupid. There's no other word for it, even if you're a supporter of Trump. But some of the stuff he's done is pretty stupid. Okay? I just want to ask you this. Do you really think that is the business acumen that brought him millions? Billions?
Right.
No. He's not a very good businessman. And now he's saying, now he's distancing himself from all of these people that he hired, right? No, he was really, no. Well, the other great sign of a good businessman is they know the people they hire, and they check them out thoroughly, right? He's violated every word. Here's a couple of banks that are quite interesting here that I'm going to look into. One significant organizer of the post-global drug connection between CIA organized crime and their mutual interest in drug trafficking was former OSS officer Paul Ellie Helliwig. Helliwig was head of Special Intelligence Branch of OSS and later an officer of the OPC and CIA, was simultaneously the owner of the Bank of Perrine in Key West, Florida. Quote, a two-time laundromat for the Langston mob and the CIA, and its sister bank of Cutler Ridge. Worked for the CIA and owned two banks for money laundering.
Wow.
All of this in southern Florida, all of this right around
Mar-a-Lago. Right.
Exactly. Now, and since we're talking about that interesting period back in the, and you're an expert on this, even more so than me, and that is this period where Trump got this stuff, 82, 85, well, pretty much southern Florida was run by Romney, Jeb Bush, and Bush Sr. And we know what they were doing.
Well, this is the thing that people need to understand. We talk about there being a, quote, deep state. That's a phrase that sort of has popped up. Why did we get that phrase?
He used that phrase, right, to show they're after him.
And it does kind of tell us what it's really talking about is an illegal government that's running our country. Like, we basically, I mean, think about this. The CIA has unlimited funding. And they now have their own little army. They can drop bombs anywhere they want with drones anywhere they want, tell them anywhere they want to go. I mean, we know that they run some drugs, that they have a drug operation.
May I interrupt for just 1 second, because I want your listeners to have this figure. When we went into Afghanistan to get rid of the Taliban in 2002, Afghanistan produced 8% of the heroin in the world.
That's right.
4 years later, 92% of the world's heroin.
You want to know
how did the U.S. invasion create such a booming heroin market?
Because they forced him to. I literally, you know me, I'm a C-SPAN
type. I've had Afghanis on Facebook get in touch with me, and they were forced.
Forgive Facebook, Ed. You know me, I'm a C-SPAN junkie. I was working and watching C-SPAN, and on came a panel in 2004 or 5 maybe. And they, right after or right before Bush got reelected, they were on, I think it was right after, they came as a coalition for women on C-SPAN talking to some reporters, having a press conference about their visit to the United States to ask President Bush to stop forcing the soldiers to make their husbands grow opium and poppy seeds because their country had decided they did not want to have that, and it was destroying their lives, and they couldn't. They understood that the United States needed to be there, but they did not believe. These were women on C-SPAN talking about it.
Just 2 weeks ago, I don't know whether you saw this. I think I put it on your wall. Just 2 weeks ago, CNN had an article about Afghanistan. And they had a picture of an American soldier standing in this field that had all of these just little plants in the bottom, basically, you know, just sprouts coming up. And the caption was, an American soldier protecting the wilderness in Afghanistan. Well, I've grown opium poppies, the entire field with little baby opium poppies. That's what that soldier was protecting. You go
well,
online.
This is why, because we have an unlimited CIA, though, Ed. This is the deal. We have an unlimited CIA. It's for the people who want to destroy our liberties, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, people get into didactics. We're a republic, we're a democracy, whatever. We're not. I'm talking about our Bill of Rights. I'm talking about our preamble, that we, the people, we're here. And unfortunately, I get it. That was all a pipe dream, and we, you know, murdered our way across the country. But it's time to grow up as a people. We're here. We are one nation. And we do have a document that's worth savoring and worth keeping and worth exercising. Liberty is an exercise. We can easily give it up by letting these fascists take over.
Oh, absolutely. I found some more relevant information here, doing some research. Okay. Okay. Where does President Trump fit into this picture? Okay. Resorts International evolved from a CIA front company set up in the early 50s by then CIA director Alan Dulles. D-U-L-L-E-S? How's that pronounced?
Dulles, right.
and his close associate, three-term New York Governor Thomas Dewey, political functionary in the so-called Rockefeller Republican wing of the GOP. The front company in question was the innocuously named Mary Carter Paint Company, which operated a national chain of paint stores but was entirely set up to function as a covert CIA money laundering operation. In 58-59, Dewey and a number of associates used $2 million in CIA funds to buy a controlling interest in the Crosby Miller Corporation, headed by Dewey friend James Crosby, which was then merged into Mary Carter Paint. Among other things, the new corporation laundered CIA money for arming the anti-Castro Cuban exile, Meyer Lansky, of course. The company also launched into lucrative casino gambling enterprises in the Caribbean, where the CIA was quite active during that period.
Near the Bahamas, as a matter of fact.
Having engaged the Lansky crime syndicate in the now thoroughly documented and widely known plot to topple Fidel Castro. Thus, it should be no surprise that in 1963, Alvin Malnick, top henchman of crime syndicate boss Meyer Lansky, was found to be closely connected to the operation of Mary Carter Paint. In 63, wow. Mary Carter Paint spun off its paint division. During the next several years, began developing its the casino operations. Isn't it interesting that a company called Mary Carter Paint spun off its paint divisions and was only involved in casinos, particularly in the Bahamas?
Yeah.
In 1967-68, let me finish this up. Just one line. In 1967-68, Mary Carter Paint officially changed its name to Resorts International. There you go.
1968. Uh-huh. I wonder what Donald Trump's dad was doing.
That's when it's no longer a paint company, and at that time they also stretched worldwide with their influence. Now here's Resorts International when it first formed. You're going to love this. The chairman of the board was Meyer Lansky.
You know what? In their thinking, they probably opened up a paint company thinking they could get into every country because everybody needs to paint. But then they realized, no, we can actually go in and gamble because everybody gambles.
According to several articles I read, what Trump's purpose was, what his main purpose, why the CIA hired him. And remember, folks, you know, there was this giant Trump hates Bush and Bush hates Trump drama that played out through the election. Well, at the day that Trump took control of 93% of the CIA's money laundering operation called Resorts International, the old man Trump was head of the CIA. So that deal could not have happened without his involvement and approval. So there was no fight. There's no fight between the Bushes and the Trumps. It's all staged.
Well, you notice that the Bushes are very, very silent in all of this catcalling Obama, blah, blah, blah. Like, where's the other presidents calling? And now, especially now that we have the evidence that they cannot deny that there is some kind of something. They have evidence that something went on. They know exactly. In fact, my guess is they have heard the tapes and they know exactly what's going on. They know
it appears they do, because that's why there's this big thing going on in the news today regarding, the connection, saying that there's no question anymore. Okay? And Nunes has basically just destroyed the credibility of the House now.
Well, they have to have this is what's going to happen. Is he went over there nervously to tell him, holy my God, we've got real shit on you guys. That's what he went as a friend.
Oh, 53 minutes ago.
As a quote friend, I'm sure. That's what he did.
We have breaking news. News apologizes to the intel committee.
I mean, Ed, what would you do?
He regrets briefing Trump. Now he regrets. Wow. Yep. So, this is going to be an interesting drama to play off. But, folks, I don't want you to get too excited either way. If they take Trump out, they're probably trying to put Pence in.
Well, What I'm beginning to think, see, the way that this has gone, it's not gone the way their plan was supposed to go. I don't know what.
I agree with you.
Really hilarious. Check this out. Paul Ryan would be, who would be president? Speaker of the House if they take Pence out. We've got President Paul Ryan. So this is why Paul Ryan is just laughing his ass off. Every time we see him, he's got that big grin on him because he knows they have enough dirt on them. I mean,
And while we're talking about that, let's mention to your audience something that you and I have been talking about for weeks. Pence says nothing.
Pence has said enough. He needs to keep his trap shut. I bet you 2-1 he's talked on the telephone and he knows that they have heard them all. I mean, I bet you 2-1. I mean, think about Nunes. Honestly, he considers himself an ally with the Republican Party. It would be practically his duty to go over there and tell the president exactly what they have. I mean, that's, I'm sure, how it's unethical what he did yesterday, but I would understand. I mean, I don't think the guy, look, on a human level,
for
if you know somebody's
going
to go to jail, you go and warn them. You know what I mean?
For all we know, he may have gone over there to warn Trump so Trump could fucking get out of there.
Not only get out of there, move his assets. Are you kidding?
Well, yeah, that's more important to him than also, you know, start his resignation or whatever, mental breakout or whatever he's going to do to get out of that
documents.
Position.
It's the Nixon thing. Let's start shredding, man.
Thank you for mentioning Nixon. This is very important. I want to make everyone aware of how long it takes for truth to come out. New documents were just released 2 months ago that show a bigger Nixon scandal than we ever knew about, bigger than Deep Throat. Nixon basically intervened to stop a successful peace agreement with Vietnam. We had a peace agreement ready to go. Everything was going to go. And Nixon said no because he wanted to get reelected. So
wow.
He individually kept that war going on.
Well, is that any different than Reagan?
His whole reasoning was he thought that if peace happens, he would lose re-election.
Yes. Well, is that any different than Reagan doing what he did with Jimmy Carter and the hostages? I mean, to me, ever since I never accepted Reagan as my president for that reason ever, because he was a traitor from the beginning. He kept people hostages for 30, 60 extra days. I forget the number, so that he could be the one who said he set them free. And he did.
As you and I have said to people, I say it all the time. People go, how in the world did we ever end up with Trump? And I say it started with Reagan. That's how we ended up with Trump.
It actually started, I guess, a long time ago, Ed, even before that.
Yeah, but Reagan was the first example of the, if you're for the country, then you're for, you know.
Well, they tried to do that with Nixon. That was a lot of Nixon's line, right? And Nixon did get elected.
True.
Nixon did get elected, sentiment, you know?
Something important for your audience to realize, our attorney general had a meeting with all the state attorney generals and basically said, we want you to put all of your effort in the war on drugs now.
Right.
Okay, we don't want you going after white-collar crime. It's these druggies we want to get. But folks, this is exactly what Nixon did. And later, Haldeman even admitted the only reason we did the war on drugs was so we could go after blacks and hippies.
Because
they were disrupting.
Well, and who's our attorney general? Mr. KKK, man. But this is the thing. This is what I don't get about Americans who support Trump and say he's draining the swamp. He's filled the Commerce Secretary with a man who's got dirty money. He put in as head of the Treasury a man who lied about having offshore accounts and had the audacity to look straight in the face when he got caught saying, oh, it's those forms. I just don't understand them.
Well, and like I told a few of his supporters, he looked right in your face how many times and said, I'm not going to be out golfing like that Obama guy. I'm going to be too busy. Well, so far he's golfed more than Obama.
Already in the first month?
Yes.
First few months?
He's had 11 golfing trips.
Wow, really?
He's outpacing Obama. And I don't care about that. What I care about is that he used that to trash Obama and then said he wasn't going to do it.
And
that's really all I need.
This is the sad part. If you tell this to Trump supporters, they say that's an exaggeration. That's fake news. That's fake media. Like, no matter what comes out, it's all fake news. It's all a lie. There's no connection to Russia. There's no dirty money.
And I know we have Trump supporters on the line. And to be quite truthful, listening, and to be quite truthful, I can understand why Trump supporters supported him. Because if what he said was true, it wasn't really that bad of a deal.
He's a sexist, fascist pig, has been for a long time.
Honestly, I have no respect for the man. They went with their emotions, Lonnie. There's two types of, I was in sales for decades. There's two types of buyers. There's transactional buyers and there's emotional buyers. And he got elected by the emotional buyers. That's all.
I think he got elected with the help of Russia. You want my opinion?
Me too. I don't think the election is legitimate, at all. And I think that's going to come out. I mean,
well, it wasn't legitimate when they allowed Hillary Clinton to steal it from Bernie. That was clearly known. Over a million votes not counted. Voters in New York, 2 million voters scrubbed in New York. That is out in the open. These are not unknown facts. These are not alternative facts. Bernie Sanders, the primary was stolen from Bernie Sanders. Now,
absolutely,
what that speaks about is the DNC would rather have Donald Trump than Bernie Sanders. So now
let's go to the media's involved.
That's another whole show, Ed.
How much did the media talk about Bernie Sanders during the election?
Right, and how much did they sell us Donald Trump on the? He didn't. I mean, the guy came on.
They sold him on his negativity. They just exposed it. As I said, there's no bad publicity, only publicity. Donald Trump's name was in front of everybody's eyeballs for a year straight.
That's right.
Every story was about him, whether it was a story trashing him, or because he said something outrageous, or because he made fun of a disabled person. That didn't really matter.
Or even hearing a video, a tape, an audio tape of him admitting to sexually assaulting a woman. I mean, any woman he wants. That's essentially what he said. And he was ironically, he was like sort of influencing this young person who was like idolizing him. I mean, that nobody ever talked about that, how the elders have a responsibility to show young people how to be adults. And Donald Trump has failed 100% in that regard and still continues to do it. As the President of the United States, I think in terms of role model,
that's why I'm still gonna dig a little bit deeper into this Uncanny Valley thing, because I think that may be what they've set up here.
So Ed, we have about a minute and a half.
If we can get the whole population so confused and so upset, we can do anything we want. I mean, it's the truth. Trump just sent a bunch more troops into where? Syria? Did anybody object? Did it even really make the news? No.
I think his drones are up by 300% over Obama's. He's on par for 300% more drones. So
exactly. He's already
I'm going to stop war machine is a big lie. First thing he does is want 54 million, billion more. Ed, we have 45 seconds, so I want to thank you for joining us on the radio show today, and I hope we can come back, and as this story unfolds, we can talk about it, because it is going to unfold, folks, and hopefully it will unfold. Hopefully the Republicans are Americans and not traitors and not willing to suppress the treason that's been perpetrated upon our country, and we can really drain the swamp. Let's do drain the swamp, and
I want to tell your audience, if they basically find stuff in this investigation, no, putting Pence isn't the solution. Rehabbing the election.
I know. Put your courage feet on. Take action, you guys.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host of...